Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 9:06 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and Truth podcast. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. We are harbored by your friendly folks at collegeatmagnolia.com. It is me, Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. You can find me at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me is not Ryan S. Sterrett. The S stands for sayonara. I don't know. He's not here. So we're sending out T's and P's. Hopefully Ryan's okay. We did this last time we did this. He was okay. He was just asleep on the couch. So we have no clue where he is, to be 100% honest with you. The other side of me, a guy who shows up on time. He's in line and on time. It's the AU chief.
Hello.
If our audio quality is bad this week, it's because I'm not at my house. I am on a headset mic as opposed to my normal beautiful podcast mic. So me and Chief might sound more and more alike tonight. Yep. But it's just us. And we were planning on Ryan being here. And he was going to work on show notes. So we didn't think twice about what we were going to talk about tonight. Because normally we're fed that information. So this is going to be wheels off. I guess we can talk a little bit about basketball recruiting. That's what everybody's thinking about right now.
That's all I care about.
So there's a rumor. The thing I really want to talk about is the rumor – well, it's not a rumor. It's a fact that Auburn's reached out to Louisiana Tech transfer Kenneth Lofton Jr. Now, he is not related to former Atlanta Braves great Kenny Lofton, but he is a very good and very interesting basketball player.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he is. He is a round mount.
He's a mountain. Even a round mountain,
I'd say. He kind of busted on the scene for a lot of people, including yours truly, a couple of years ago in the – I guess it was last summer. Yeah, it was the 2021 Under-19 World Cup. For whatever reason, like Jabari was not on that team.
That's odd. Odd choice.
It was a weird choice, and I wonder if COVID had anything to do with it because the makeup of the team is odd.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys on there that I didn't know about or I didn't know of. They were supposed to ride Chet Holmgren to a gold medal very easily in Cruz. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of just put pieces around him that were going to be complimentary pieces.
Right.
They added Kenneth Lofton Jr., who was not a rated recruit, really. Like this was not a guy that a lot of teams were fighting over. And then darn if he didn't have like the tournament. So he destroyed in this tournament. All of a sudden he becomes kind of a household name because it's also like kind of like when Zion did something, there was always a meme because he was just this giant dunking.
Yeah.
Kenneth Lofton Jr. is kind of a similar deal.
Signed with La Tech at the time.
I believe so. I think he was
ended up still going there.
Yeah, I think he had already committed to La Tech. So you imagine like a guy who looks more like a guard, like an offensive guard in football. He's like
Yeah, not a basketball guard.
Not a basketball guard, an offensive guard, a football guard. Because he's not a slender man. Nor is he like especially tall. I mean, he's especially tall for a human, but not necessarily for a basketball man.
You know what? He is like Simeon Bowers on like crack.
Right. So he's 6'7" tall, and I guarantee you he weighs north of 325. And he was unstoppable in the World Cup, to the point where in the final game against France, so France, if you're a real basketball nerd, you would recognize that France was playing their superstar. France has a kid who is going to be not the number one pick in this draft because he's not old enough, but he will be the number one pick in the next year's draft, almost assuredly. He is named Victor. I'm gonna butcher this last name. Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama. He was born in 2004. He is a 7'2" guard. Like, he's a 7'2" power forward who plays everything. He's been playing professional basketball since he was like 15 years old in Europe. He is an unbelievable player. Okay. Wembanyama is probably the player that a lot of people thought Chet Holmgren was as well. And still think, I mean, Holmgren might still be the number one pick in the draft, but I think that Wembanyama is a more surefire, like, this dude's going to be an absolute superstar in the NBA. Because he was already on this U19 World Cup in 2021, right? So he's not even old enough to be drafted this year. And he definitely wasn't last summer. But France trotted him out there because they were like, he's the best prospect in a generation.
Okay, I sorry to interrupt your flow of thought there. I'm looking through pictures of Mr. Loftin Jr. here, and I actually can't tell the sequence. There's several pictures where he just looks like an enormous, I'm just gonna say it, a fat guy.
Yeah.
But then there's some where he looks like he may have slimmed up some, and I'm wondering if maybe he did throughout the year
at La Tech, got on the college weight program.
He also seems to be handling the ball a lot. Is that something that you noticed while he was playing?
He's able USA? To. He's definitely able to do it. It's
Does he shoot the three? Is this a three-point shooting guy?
I wouldn't. I mean, I'm sure he can, only that everybody can.
I guess I could look at his KenPom numbers.
But what I was saying about him and Wembanyama in the gold medal game, France is all over the U.S., and they're going to win that game. And then the U.S. kind of storms back and gets the win, and a comeback win. It's actually – I think the whole game's on YouTube if you wanted to watch it. It's the U19 World Cup – France versus USA, and this kid, Kenneth Lofton Jr., comes in, and he's not scared at all of a 7'2" kid. And remember, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
And he is attacking the basket. He is outrageously aggressive. He is fearless. Doesn't matter how tall you are. Doesn't matter. He'll back you down. He has an unbelievable... God, he's a dancing bear, is what they would call him if he was a baseball prospect. He's a big guy, but his footwork is unbelievable. So he is a unicorn in that his feet are moving in perfect ballet, and he can get around anybody, even though he is gigantic. And here's what I think Auburn fans like Chief will love about him. He finishes really, really well. He doesn't miss a lot of layups. He doesn't miss a lot of two foot away from the basket shots. And he catches a lot of everything. Like, he caught a lot of pretty lousy outlet passes in that tournament and turned them into 2 points.
Let's see. He was 4 for 19 from three this year, so he's not really a three guy.
Yeah.
He was 194 for 350 from two, though. It's good enough for the 398th best in the country, percentage-wise. Really terrible free throw rate.
That's surprising, because a guy as big as him, you would think he was getting just hacked in whatever conference LaTeX is in. I think they're in – are they CUSA or are they Sunbelt?
You know what I have? Well, I could tell you. Hold on. I was there just a second ago. They are CUSA.
That's what I thought.
He had an offensive rating of 107.2 this year. Not even the fifth best on the team there. Somehow. Percent possessions. He ranks 10th nationally. I'm not real sure what that stat is. Do you have
So the percent of each, I think that's percent of each possession of his team in which he touched the ball.
Okay. Yeah. 34.3%. So that's good for 10th in the country. So that's pretty good. And percent of shots, I'm guessing that's percent of the shots that his team takes.
Yeah.
29.7, that's good for 99th in the country. So he was
– there were guys taking – there were 98 guys taking higher than a 30% chance, 30% of their team shots. That is amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. I actually would like to dig into that and see who was who had more. His effective field goal percentage, 54.2. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's
really good.
Good. I mean, it's 324th in the country, but I'm that feels like a stat where the difference between 324 and 100 is like
right. He also doesn't shoot threes, so
true. Yeah, yeah.
And EFG weights 3-pointers higher.
There we go.
Because three is worth more than two, as we've talked about.
Here's what we love. His offensive rebounding percentage, 13.9. That's good for 35th in the country. Defensive rebounding percentage, 29. That's good for 15th in the country.
He is a rebounding machine. And we're
– cleans up.
We were talking about this off the air, but if there's a really good chance now that Oscar Tshiebwe finds his way back to Kentucky. And if that's the case, Auburn's going to maybe want a guy who can go, oh, you got a rebounding machine? Well, guess what? We also have a guy who just rebounds like crazy at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah, it would be good to have a guy like that. I mean, that seems to be like a great comp for him. It's Tshiebwe is also not super tall, but scores around the rim, gets all the rebounds, and did pretty well. That worked out pretty well for Kentucky this year. I mean, obviously they couldn't beat us, but he also has this jumps out to me. His assist rate is 24.7, which is for a giant guy. He's 188th in the country.
Yeah, he's part of moving the basketball. I think he had to do a little bit of everything for La Tech. I don't think. So, like, imagine if – a good way to put him would be, like, if Jalen Williams was also, like, 350 pounds. Like, he can do a lot of everything. He can spread the floor a bit. If you watch his highlights, you'll notice him taking guys off the dribble, which is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it. There's a highlight of him on YouTube in which he had, like, 38 points and 16 rebounds against NC State. That's an ACC team, and he had 38. So
that's crazy.
I really think he's a guy that I would like to see. Even though Auburn's not desperate for front court help at this point. Like,
yeah,
we're pretty set with Traore and Jalen Williams and Dylan Cardwell. Stretch.
Probably need
Chris Moore.
One more piece in there just to be safe, I would think.
Right. It'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting if Auburn does get him and trots out a lineup with him and Traore at the same time, because we basically would be saying, we really don't care about shooting threes this year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at least like this year, this past year, with the lineup we had out there, our power forward was our best three-point shooter. Because Jabari could do everything. But
that's right.
We would be improving from outside at all. But we would be improving at rebounding, which was a huge problem late in the year for Auburn. And we got out-rebounded like pretty consistently there towards the down the stretch in the SEC.
Yeah, we did.
And it would have helped against Miami, too, to have a guy getting 16 rebounds.
Just a quick glance at Mr. Lofton. It looks like he may have actually had a little bit better of a freshman year than he did sophomore year.
That's right. He is a year older than Jabari.
Yeah. But he did have 12 and 9 against Alabama this year in the first game of the season.
Let's see.
Against LSU, great defensive team, mind you. 13 and 7.
And he's – two assists. You got to understand, too, like he is all that team has offensively. Right.
You just cover him up, then that, you know, you could probably beat him. They did lose to UAB twice. He scored 20 and 23. He had 20 and 10 and 4 assists against UAB in the regular season. And then he had 23 and 9 in the tournament against them. So, I mean, he was still doing work in some losses. It'd be a nice piece. It really sort of feels like this would be a guy that would replace Chris Moore more than it would be.
I can see that.
More than it would be a five. Of course, he's not going to shoot threes, but he's going to do a lot of dirty work. It looks like to me.
I also think he's probably thinking he's going somewhere to start.
Yeah, that's what I would think, and I'm betting we're not going to get this guy because we already have Treo, and we already have Jalen Williams here. I don't think he's going to be a starting four for us because our starting four has to shoot threes.
Yes, somebody does.
Yeah, somebody's going to shoot. I mean, we could have a four that didn't shoot threes if we had a one, two, and three that could. So,
right.
That could make them at a 35% clip.
We went to the Final Four with our best three-point shooter, not our four.
Yep, it's true. But, yeah, that's an interesting guy. It would be fun. It would really feel like the second coming of Charles Barkley.
Yeah, oh, for sure. There'd be a lot of Charles Barkley comps being made.
Yeah, because he does seem to be pretty athletic, even though he's definitely fat. Like, there's just no way around it. The guy's definitely carrying some extra fat around. And that's okay. He's clearly in better shape than I am.
Yeah. The other guy that I really am hoping that we pick up is a Canadian kid. And his name is Leonard Miller. So,
yeah. Sounds like a talent agent or
Leonard like Miller,
showrunner for a 70s sitcom.
Right. Absolutely. He's Canadian. He was listed.
Makes it make sense.
Right. He was listed at 6'9 at one point. However, he was measured at the Nike Hoop Summit at 6'11. So he's grown 2 inches since the beginning of his senior year of high school. But he only weighs probably 200 pounds soaking wet.
I was at first very confused why a man named Leonard Miller was playing for the world team in that game. And then I quickly found out he was from
our friends up north,
Canada. We are not listed on 247, like they're the top five teams they show for him. But he doesn't have an offer from us apparently, but he does have an offer from
there are people who have said that Auburn's in the running.
I certainly hope so. I do too, man.
We made his top 10 is what happened. So he listed his top 10, and his top 10 are Gonzaga, Kentucky, Kansas, Providence, TCU, Oklahoma State, Alabama, Auburn, the G League, and Overtime Elite. So two different pro leagues.
How is this guy not like why did he suddenly pop up now?
Because he plays basketball in Ontario.
Oh yeah, okay.
So he's kind of been a bit of a secret.
He's not rated.
Yeah,
247.
Right. So he's kind of a secret because he all of a sudden plays in one of these All-Star games, and all of a sudden everybody's like, wait a minute, this guy is outrageous. Yeah, he is incredible. He's 6'11", small forward, but could probably play the two or the three.
I think it's really odd that these recruiting sites can't update their like ratings.
Do they rate non-Americans?
Maybe that. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's the deal.
I don't know either.
Still. I don't know. But they do this anyway. Like, they just have like times of the year where they update them, and I'm like, why can't you do it live? Like, especially basketball, all these guys play really well in tournaments. You get a lot of juice. You can't like say, hey, maybe we should analyze this. And anyway,
like if you look at some of the highlights of him, you're like, wait, no, this kid's an NBA. It's very similar to Jabbar, where you're like, this kid should be playing in the NBA next year.
Yeah, like this guy. Has Auburn written – Bruce Pearl, Develop Me, written all over him.
I mean, if he doesn't go here, I would like him to go to the G League.
Yes, and not Alabama, which is the only person that – or team that has like a recruiter on, right. on 247 listed for him. Please don't go there. Yeah. Please.
He's really good.
Yeah, he looked really good in that game. Wow, what is this?
In his final game in high school, he had 47 points and 17 rebounds.
Good Lord,
that was just a casual 47-17.
There is something wrong with 247. I just clicked on
full stop.
I'm under him, and I expanded out the teams that are he's interested in or whatever, and it said we have five small forwards on roster. And I'm like, what? Really? And I click, and just take a guess at who's listed.
Chris Moore?
No.
Jabari Smith?
No.
Alan Flanagan?
Yes.
Okay, there's one.
Freshman Alan Flanagan is listed, yes.
Oh, Samir Dowdy?
No.
Okay. Man, who is on there?
Junior Danielle Purifoy.
Oh, man.
Junior Anthony McElmore. Some 6'10 guy named H. Huff. Heath Huff? I don't remember this guy. This is because he hasn't been on the team in like 4 years, apparently. Yeah. So 247 get – oh, and Devin Cambridge listed as a junior. So that's a real bang-up job that 247's doing there tracking our roster.
Yeah, they really got it pinned down. I mean, why would he come if we had that many small forwards? Some of which I don't even know exist.
Yeah. Man. Anyway, we've got a spot for him, and
everyone has a spot for this kid. Everybody, there's not a team in America that he's not starting for next year.
Yeah, period. That's true.
A 6'11" shot maker with a 7-foot-something wingspan who runs like a guard.
Yeah, flies around. I love the way he was going after rebounds. You know, it's hard to tell in that Hoop Summit situation. Those guys have never played together before. It was really sloppy. I mean, for both sides, it was really sloppy. But at least some of the American players played together before. I don't think any of the international players have ever played a minute together.
They literally usually fly in. They usually fly in the week of. And they used to fly in the week of, have two practices and play.
Yeah.
Now they scrimmage a team that's made up of like local junior college and like other guys.
Yeah.
And then they play, they end up playing two games total.
Yeah. But this kid is crazy good. It would be pretty awesome if we could get him. Doesn't the signing period end soon or something like that?
It's pretty crazy that he's not even like he hasn't signed yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's also not the only guy we've got out there. There's the Phillips guy from LSU also who hasn't made a decision, right? Julian Phillips, is that his name?
No, that is the guy. That's the guy.
Okay. He's also a small forward. Pretty exciting as well. He would be the like number three top recruit for us ever if we signed him, I believe. He's 14th nationally. Somehow fifth at his position. This high school class is chock full of small forwards, I guess.
And we already have five.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. dude has 28 offers. Good gravy. He's the guy that we were not really involved in until right before he signed with LSU, I think.
Right.
Which is weird. I don't really know what that would have been about, I guess. I mean, I guess we knew, I don't know. I mean, when there's a guy out there and you want to talk to him, you talk to him. I don't know. It doesn't seem that he just suddenly developed, though, and piqued our interest. He's got, offers from everybody. Right. Florida State, LSU, Tennessee, USC, Alabama, Clemson, DePaul, Florida, Kansas, UCLA. I mean, it's like literally everyone. The only two schools I don't see on here, North Carolina and Duke. So, I think that's where the link comes from is that we were in late, and I think he like put us in his like top three right before he committed to LSU or something silly like that, even though it's not listed on any recruiting sites. So he's also a small forward. I believe he's a pretty good shooter. He's what you want out of a small forward. He's only 6'8", so that's a little disappointing after we've talked about a 6'11" guy. But I'd still be pretty excited if we landed Phillips. I mean, who wouldn't be? Like I mentioned before, he would be like our third best recruit ever if we signed him. Which
that list is being consistently rewritten by Bruce Pearl.
Oh, that's true. It also begs the question, how did Will Wade get all these really high-ranked recruits to come play for him when they haven't won anything ever? I mean, not ever, but with them.
Not with Will Wade.
Not in many years.
Well, he probably just took him down to New Orleans and said, look, you're really close to New Orleans. And
yeah, because every young kid wants to be in New Orleans.
I know you're not 21 yet, but...
The food's great, but... I don't know. The rest of it's not my scene. I don't know. 18-year-olds, maybe they like to walk down the street and catch the view, but
right.
You can only do that so many times.
The people in Louisiana love LSU.
That's true. But this guy's from Branson, Missouri. So.
Oh, man. The live country music capital of the world.
We didn't mention where Mr. Kenneth Lofton Jr. was from.
Yeah. Yeah. He's from Port Arthur, Texas.
That's right. There you go.
He's from Port Arthur, hometown of one Cam Martin.
That's right.
We should get Cam to – now Cam works for a different company now.
Yeah, he's
– But
– with us anymore.
Cam – Port Arthur is a town in which that Kenneth Lofton Jr. is not going to back down from a single person he runs into because that dude is from a place that does not – that place does not grow soft people.
Yeah.
You know who else is from Port Arthur, Texas? Is one Janis Joplin.
Really?
So, there you go.
Learn something every day.
Every day is a school day, Chief. So let's.
That's right.
What else? We're going to talk a little bit about A-Day? I don't know anything about it. I didn't watch it.
Well, we're not sickos, so neither one of us watched it. If you did watch it, I am afraid to inform you that you are, in fact, a sicko.
My brother-in-law was there with his whole family.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's a great place to take kids. Albie's there.
Yeah, but it's $10. So if you got multiple kids, it's like $40 to take the whole family.
Right. But it's still cheaper than a regular football game.
You can take a basketball game for not that much more than that.
An Auburn basketball game?
Why not? If you get the tickets from an appropriately priced place. Anyway, you know what? The only thing I took away from it was that a bunch of starters didn't play and that Robbie Ashford is the new Cody Burns. Until he is actually the starter, and then I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he seems to be the one that everyone thinks had a really good game, which makes sense. And he brings a dynamic to the team that we don't already have, which is a quarterback that can, like, make something when the offensive line makes a play break down.
So he's like Bo Nix, but better decision maker? I don't know. I didn't see it.
All I know is that my brother-in-law texted me an update and said, if I had to guess, about 96% of our offense is made up of check downs to the tight end.
Sweet.
So
things are going great.
Things are going to be awesome. John Samuel Sr. is going to have 100 catches next year.
I think it's safe to say that Zach Calzada is the biggest loser of spring.
Well, he didn't see his play.
Didn't get to participate. Now seems like the other guy they brought in is setting himself up to maybe take over that job later this year. But other than that, I don't know anything. Literally anything about what happened, and I'm a happier person for it.
Yeah, I just couldn't be bothered.
Well, it's just normally I couldn't be bothered this year,
right?
I used to go to A-Day. It used to be a fun thing. I agree. The last one I went to, I didn't actually go. I went as soon as the final whistle blew and was entering the gate to with my family to go on the field and hang out. And that sort of thing. That was 4 or 5 years ago. It is cool for that. It is. I promise you, you are not going to learn anything by going to that.
You'll actually learn less than going to a scrimmage that's not on TV.
Yeah, because Robbie Ashford could suck, but now everybody thinks he's awesome. So, it's always hot, like the sun. You're gonna get sunburned, even if the air is cold.
That April sun,
yeah, it is second only in horribleness to the October sun.
Horrible only in that it sneaks up on you.
Yeah, right. It's just not. It's not a thing. I think it lost a lot when it went corporate, so to speak. When they're like everybody has their spring game on TV now.
Right.
And it's a big thing. It's a big thing that everyone it's like a big production now. Right. And it used to just be kind of low budget. And for instance, you didn't pay to go.
Right.
And this year you could pay to be in a place where you could drink while you did it, which I would have to be drinking to watch that. Do you have any good A-Day memories?
I remember going to one and sitting completely alone. Because I went and only a few of my friends came. And so I literally just once they left, someone left early, I just sat there to watch the end of it. I don't remember why I cared. I also remember, I think it was at an A-Day. Was the first time in my life I'd ever had Golden Flake Sweet Heat chips. And that was a life-changing experience.
Nice.
I remember eating a bag. I was in the press box, and I had a bag, and I was like, I'm going to have one more right now. This is going to have to happen again.
That's the usual response to the tiny bags.
The only problem with this bag is that it is not bottomless.
Yeah, yeah. I really don't know what it is about Golden Flake Sweet Heat. But
it's the best thing they make.
So good.
Yeah.
They make some things that I'm like, they're okay.
I like their pork rinds. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I'm not a pork rind guy, so I don't really know. But
they also have the best pickle chips.
Yeah, they do have some great pickle chips. They have these barbecue pickle chips too that are pretty choice.
Wow.
We
should do a power ranking of Golden Flake flavors. We don't get them here in the Lone Star State. It doesn't exist.
What's the local brand of chip there? Zaps?
Frito-Lay is local. It's the thing.
Okay.
So I think they've kind of elbowed out everybody else in this point.
Yeah.
I live like less than 2 miles from the Frito-Lay headquarters.
Got a bootleg Golden Flake across the
right.
The line.
Westbound and down. That's what I need to do. I need to go get a Pontiac Trans Am and go get
just load it up.
Load it up and truck it with just bad boxes of Sweet Heat I bought at the Sam's in Auburn.
I do think maybe like under normal circumstances, this feels like a pretty interesting A-Day in that we don't know who the quarterback's going to be because that's usually. You know, you want to go see, and even though you don't see much, it's something to see. But just the overall enthusiasm around the program is so down.
Yeah,
that it just I don't know why anyone would care at this point.
Let me ask you a more important question.
Yeah,
that our Golden Flake conversations kind of hit maybe invent. So the rest of the show might be dedicated to this. If you could Smokey and the Bandit one thing that's not available in your state from another state. Because you can get Coors Banquet beer across the country. So Coors is out.
Easy.
So what would be something that it would be James Jones would be your snowman, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
That you and James would go across the country to pick up to get back in a certain amount of time.
Man. Oh. That's
Golden Flake would be up there for me. Koneka sausage would also be up there for me.
Koneka. That's tough because I've had a lot of good food in my travels, but I'm trying to think of something that
so much of us like in the United States, so much of the country's gotten so homogenized in that like
right.
You can get Whataburger now in Auburn. You can get not really a whole lot that's just one just location centric
one place. You know, there's a lot of craft beers.
Sure.
But I can't say that there's any that I've had that I'd be willing to break the law and
bootleg
to go get. Boy, that's a tough one. I'll have to think on it.
Denver green chili is up there for me. But again, like you get green chili other places, but not – it's just better there.
Yeah. I might bootleg some authentic Whataburger from Texas.
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
Out to here.
I was in Auburn, it was Taco Cabana queso with tortillas. But, or tortillas from Central Market, HEB out here.
I'd be willing to bootleg a good Wingstop from somewhere.
I had a Wingstop for dinner tonight, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy. But it was good.
It was good. I had the Cajun wings.
It's my go-to. For the longest time, 10 Cajun, fries, 2 ranch, drink.
And I get traditional wings, but tonight is 70-cent boneless. So we got 20 boneless wings for the family, plus I got 5 traditional Cajun.
Nice. There you go. My man.
But the lemon pepper boneless were really good. Normally, I'm anti-boneless wings in general because it's nuggets.
Yeah, it's nuggets. I mean, I've had theirs – like a couple times, maybe. I think I got them when I was on a lunch break, and I didn't really want to get dig in, and it was a little easier to eat and not be as sloppy.
It doesn't get your teeth as much.
It's also quicker to eat. nuggets. But yeah, I tend to judge when people get the boneless, but a lot of, I think James Jones may have gotten boneless. I don't know. I don't want to slander him that way.
I would Smokey and the Bandit Kaneka sausage, that is for sure. Because I don't even think it's available.
Yeah.
At least not where I've seen.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that makes sense. They're not, while they serve all of Alabama, more or less now, it's not as big of an operation as one would think, you know.
So I listen to a lot of Auburn games on the radio.
Yeah.
And Kaneka is a massive sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife often laughs at the ad that mentions come by and visit the gift shop. She's like,
that's right.
Why does the sausage place have a gift shop? Like, what gifts? And so I'm imagining like a candle, Kaneka sausage scented candle.
I've never been there, but I assume it's like Priester's Pecans. Like something like that.
I bet it's just you can buy sausage there.
Yeah, old country store. You can buy sausage. They probably have a buffet.
Exactly. They probably have a buffet. You can get weird like joke gifts for your granddad. Yeah.
Right.
In Texas, they used to be Aggie joke gifts, but they don't. I haven't seen an Aggie joke gift in a store in a long time. But like, there used to be one that was an Aggie fly swatter, and it was a regular nice. Fly swatter with a giant hole cut in the middle of it. Just a hilarious joke. It's so stupid,
man. The Aggie's just getting dunked on all over the place.
Constantly, man. Aggie joke. Like, what? I had a great uncle who owned like 10 of these like Aggie joke props, like a Carrot Top style prop comic of Aggie jokes. It was so good.
Just pulling them out of everywhere.
Have you seen the Aggie revolver and he pulled it out and it was like the barrel was pointed backwards? Hilarious joke.
Just the cheesiest joke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
What else? What else he would say? What else?
Perfect. As boring as A-Day was to me, Auburn baseball.
So Auburn baseball took 2 out of 3 from the Vanderbilt Whistlers.
Yeah, taking down the Fighting Whistlers.
Vandy's best player from last year is now Texas Ranger. So he's in the AA system for the Rangers. So
the Braves had a Vandy guy pitching for them this weekend too. But Auburn's got several new great players. I need Tashara, not Tashara, as I thought it was.
I thought it was Tashara.
It's not Tashara. It's Deshiara.
Deshiara. Got it.
But yes, I did too. I also thought it was Tashara, but it's not. So, cool. But he is amazing. And, I mean, wish I could name off all the names of the good players. I was watching this, following the game while also watching Braves baseball. So I had a lot of good baseball this past weekend. Sonny D, though, he can just whack that ball. I mean, it is.
Yeah, he is a great fan favorite player.
Yeah, he's just got a great name. It's just it's really perfect for a small baseball team like the Auburn Tigers.
And he's kind of a galoot. And I say kind of in a loving way.
Yeah. Well, he is. Where is he from? Do we know where he's from? Because is it Jersey? Because he's Italian.
That's, sure.
It's a concentration. I'm betting he's not from Mountain Brook.
I'm looking it up right now. Just
gonna put that out there.
I hope he's from Mountain Brook.
Yeah. It'd be amazing if he's from
He is not from Mountain Brook.
Okay.
He's from Hoover.
Alabama. Oh, my God.
But he transferred to Auburn from Samford.
Yeah.
He went to Hoover High School.
Yeah. Rambush is also having a heck of a year, which has been pretty cool. you can tell that I've got some deep analysis of this Auburn baseball team. They've been fun to watch. These games were equal parts tense and relaxed because we were kind of cruising. I think it was yesterday's game.
A consistent College World Series team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean we're not having trouble hitting the ball, getting good pitching. It's good. I mean, I don't want to get carried away. I think we've gotten carried away many times with the Auburn baseball and been a little disappointed at times.
We often do.
that's actually just the fun of supporting college sports. So I am pretty high on this team right now.
As am I. Top 20 team in America. Just got off winning 2 of 3 from number 12 Vanderbilt.
We've won, I think, 2 road series. We're winning midweek games, Jacksonville State aside.
Speaking of midweek games, we play those Samford Bulldogs. Sonny D gets his revenge game against his former
revenge
team.
Game.
On Tuesday night at Plainsman Park, Samford Stadium, Hitchcock Field. And it is Bark in the Park night, Chief.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so come go on down there at 6 p.m. Bring your puppy dog.
Oh, here's something for you. Care to take a guess where Blake Rambush is from?
Is it Mount Brook, Alabama?
No, it's not.
Is it from Dallas, Texas?
Oh, you're getting closer.
Okay. Somewhere near in the Metroplex.
He played at Gateway Prep in Austin, Texas.
Okay, just down 35.
Yeah. And then apparently he went to some place called Grayson and then transferred to Auburn.
I knew a guy named Grayson.
Grayson College.
So then Auburn goes on the road this coming weekend to play an unranked Mississippi State team.
That's shocking, to be honest with you.
They are, let's see, I don't know, they're trying to look at their scats right now. But that's going to be an SEC game. That's going to be on SEC Network. That's going to be on the radio, the Auburn Tigers radio network, and that's going to be at 7 p.m.
Yep, 7 p.m. first pitch on, is that Thursday?
That'll be Thursday night.
Yeah, okay. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And those games are at 7, 6, and 1, respectively. All PM.
Way to hit them with the hard-hitting facts. Did you mention that the Samford game is tomorrow night at 6 p.m.?
I did. Bark in the Park night.
Okay. Yeah, and that's right. You did.
You come to this program to learn 2 things. 1, maybe the correct names of the guys on the team.
Maybe.
2, the time of the game. 3, where is the game located on television or streaming or radio? So
hopefully we get you on. For those wondering, where is the in-depth analysis you've come to know and love from our podcast? Don't worry. We're going to have Drew McCracken on soon to talk about this baseball team.
It was supposed to be tonight, but everybody bailed on us.
Yeah.
I hope Ryan's okay.
Ryan, I think, hit the links today probably and fell asleep on his couch, as teenagers are wont to do. And I'm sure he'll be back next week. But we're going to try to get Drew on after we win this series this weekend. And he'll be able to tell you more about – I bet you he can tell you about – well, Cason Howell, we know, and Ryan Dial, but he could probably tell you about Bryson Ware, who I couldn't tell you anything about, other than he's from Madison, Mississippi.
You hear that? Chief just rattling off names of guys on the team. So if you go to the water cooler tomorrow, you can use those names too.
That's right. You could say, you know, Bryson Ware from the Auburn Tigers from Madison, Mississippi.
Did you guys know the game is at 6?
It's Bark in the Park. It's
Bark in the Park night, guys. That means people are going to be bringing dogs. Hey, if you are going to that game and your dog is not social, don't go to that game with your dog.
Yeah, my dogs are – they're social. They're just unruly.
Golly. My dog jumped out of the front door the other day and took off across the street because it saw another dog and it wanted to go say hello because
it's a very friendly dog. Yes, friend! Yeah.
As it's running up, the owner of the other dog is yelling, like screaming at my dog.
Oh.
Like, stop! Stop right now, stop! My dog freaks out because this strange woman is just like sternly yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry, ma'am. You know, she's real friendly. It's okay. And this lady goes, no, my dog is not friendly. And I was like, oh, okay. No. Get back over here. But then again, like, why are you walking that dog through a neighborhood? Like, why do you own that dog? What is the point of that dog?
My dog. You got to take that friendly. Dog, like, to the woods to walk around or something.
Yeah. Mm. Or get a different dog.
There's a German Shepherd in our neighborhood that's not very friendly to other dogs. It's friendly to other people, it seems, but just doesn't like other dogs. My dogs love other dogs. And it's a problem.
Right. Sounds like they're proper candidates for Bark at the Park.
Well, they're just unruly, so I would just never. I thought about it when I only had the one. And I should have taken him then. He probably would have been all right. I could.
The problem is you own a corgi too, so you would go to the park in the park, and he would be surrounded by people.
I know it would just be a mess.
You would be you'd be the most popular person at the park.
Listen to this though. As cute as everyone thinks corgis are, my sister-in-law and her new husband just got a cowboy corgi, which is a blue heeler and corgi mix.
So this is not a corgi that comes with a monkey that rides on its back like a cowboy.
I wish.
Because that is the best.
I wish. People, here's a public service announcement. Corgis are cute. Corgis are also difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
They're.
It's really a gamble. You might get a good one.
Strong-willed. It's not like lab. You're a strong-willed dog.
It's not like a lab where it's just not going to get a like bad one. You might get one that like likes to jump on people.
And chew and dig. You get a lab, you randomly get one that's just like, I'm digging. I'm in World War One, and we're digging trenches in France.
But generally, they're just all within a range of the same. Corgis, you can get one that's smart, laid back, likes people, not too rambunctious. Or you can get one where you did obedience training and worked with this dog for months, hours each day, and he's just an a-hole. Just a total a-hole.
Just mean care.
To other dog. Just a bully. Doesn't really like to listen to you. He's getting older, so now when he runs out the front door, he's a little easier to catch, but he's just an a-hole.
Yeah.
Just beware. They're not as – they're cute, but, man, they are a handful.
Well, guys, we cannot wait to see you again next week.
Yeah.
Chief's going to let us know what a Smokey and the Bandit item is.
Hey, everybody, check out Winning Time if you like like the sport of basketball. Don't watch it with your kids or your mom. It's a Adam McKay joint, so there are some – adult situations and language. But it's good. It's good stuff. It's based on the book Showtime by Jeff Perlman, which is one of the more acclaimed basketball books out there.
Who also wrote the book Boys Will Be Boys about the 90s Cowboys, which is one of the best books ever written about the 90s Cowboys.
He also wrote one about the three-ring circus with Shaq and Kobe and
Phil. Yes.
That's pretty good. I'm actually going through Breaks of the Game right now.
Oh, the classic.
So I'd never read that, so I'm reading that.
Well, guys, we'll see you next week. Hopefully Ryan's okay.
Keep on cocking.